Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's programme for June the 5th. I'm Thomas Stevens. Should someone applying for a Swiss passport be able to speak one of Switzerland's four national languages? That was the question put to readers this week in SwissInfo.ch's poll. Find out how they voted later. But first, this week's main news. In an exclusive interview with SwissInfo.ch on June the 3rd, Swiss Foreign Minister Micheline Calmy-Rey said those responsible for torturing prisoners at the Guantanamo prison camp must be made to answer for their crimes.
Switzerland repeatedly criticised the creation of the camp. So we, of course, welcomed the decision to close it. We saw this as a strong signal of the United States' will to respect international law. The question of the presumed perpetrators of torture being brought to justice has not been settled in the US. But as a general rule, this type of violation of international law should be fully investigated and those responsible made to answer before a court.
Calmy-Rey added that Switzerland was prepared to receive one or two former detainees of the camp constructed by the United States on Cuba. When asked why other countries should take Guantanamo prisoners when they were not responsible for setting up the camp, Calmy-Rey replied,
Guantanamo, c'est fait.
Guantanamo is a sad reality. So it is logical that the international community should try to make sure this kind of place ceases to exist.
Swiss Foreign Minister Micheline Calmy-Rey. Also this week, the Swiss economy turned in its worst quarterly performance since 1992. On June the 2nd, the State Secretariat for Economic Affairs, known as SECO, reported that, as a slump in exports and construction continued, the Swiss gross domestic product for the first quarter of 2009 had fallen by 0.8% on the previous 3 months. The year-on-year drop was 2.4%, the sharpest contraction since 1976. SECO's chief economist, Aimo Brunetti, told SwissInfo.ch that although it was hardly good news, things could be worse.
It's really a bad number. Switzerland is in bad shape, but in other countries the effect is even worse.
Brunetti explained possible reasons for this.
Of course, we are very clearly affected on the export side, but at least on the domestic market, we had some very good years, so that we think that the domestic market is quite resilient. We do not have this kind of problem in the housing market than many other countries have. We had quite high wage settlements at the end of last year, and all these effects together maybe give some stabilizing effect on the consumption side.
SECO's chief economist, Aimo Brunetti. And finally, on June the 5th, the Federal Health Office confirmed the 14th case of swine flu in Switzerland. 19 suspected cases are being examined. The World Health Organization says the outbreak, which began in Mexico in April, has reached 66 countries and infected almost 22,000 people, causing 125 deaths. And now it's your chance to have your say. For every story on SwissInfo.ch, you can write in and leave your comments, either praising the insightful analysis and witty turns of phrase, or more often venting spleen at why the world is going to pot. Following our report on the launch of an initiative to ban smoking in all Swiss public buildings, our servers almost crashed last week under the heated response.
Smoking is a foul, disgusting, and antisocial habit and should be banned from all public places in Switzerland,
said Dick from Switzerland.
Not only this, those who smoke and subsequently develop a smoking-related disease should go to the back of the queue for treatment behind people who have tried to live a healthy life.
Not everyone agreed.
And what about the basic human rights of smokers? You're all enjoying a big wave of public and political backing in the war on smoking. But nobody seems to notice that the treatment of smokers under such blanket bans borders on the criminal.
Steve from Switzerland playing the ludicrous smoker's rights card. Carl from Switzerland has an unusual strategy.
What a glorious day it will be when we can walk into any Swiss building and know that we will be breathing fresh air. The next time someone asks you, do you mind if I smoke? Ask them, do you mind if I fart?
Andy in Britain, however, threatened to never visit Switzerland again if the ban came in, adding,
why not let bars and cafes choose? No one has to enter them if they don't want to. Why are smokers persecuted so openly when other minorities are respected? Choice and tolerance should replace hatred and junk science used to proliferate the hatred.
Andy in Britain, whose arguments would be funny if they weren't so depressingly daft. Also last week, readers reacted to a new language learning aid produced by Fribourg University that aims to make Swiss German easier to learn for foreigners. Lena from Switzerland had another suggestion.
Or how about fining Swiss for being nasty to foreigners who actually go through the effort to learn High German flawlessly? High German because this is the business language required at many companies, but then are aggressively insulted because they don't speak Swiss German. The Swiss say they want foreigners to integrate, but when they do, they still don't accept them. Think about that.
Before I cast my eyes over some of this week's lighter news, let's turn to Swissinfo.ch's weekly poll. Should someone applying for a Swiss passport be able to speak one of Switzerland's four national languages? If you answered no, you'd be backed up by 29% of our audience. And now for the serious stuff. Passengers on a Swiss motorway got a shock on May the 30th when their car lost all four wheels at once, coming to an immediate halt in the middle of the road. According to the police, the passengers had just tried to change from winter to summer tyres, a common task in Switzerland, but had used the wrong nuts when mounting the new set, resulting in what must have looked like a scene straight out of a cartoon. Also this week, the reigning Mr. Switzerland didn't do much to dispel the cliché that brains and beauty don't always go together when he admitted he was functionally illiterate and had only ever attempted to read one book. André Reiterbuch, a 22-year-old carpenter, said he cheated his way through school and got his mother to fill out his Mr. Switzerland application form. This didn't impress Andrea Vetch, a Swiss Playboy model, who told the tabloid paper Blick that she found men who didn't read a turn-off. Vetch, 87, 60, 90, said being able to discuss books and current affairs with men was very important to her. Of Switzerland's 7.5 million inhabitants, almost 1 million people of working age have difficulty reading and writing. Of these, half have completed obligatory schooling in Switzerland. According to the Federal Statistics Office, the economic damage of illiteracy costs more than 1 billion francs a year. Now it's time for Out and About, where a Swissinfo.ch journalist reports from his or her travels, or time travels, as is the case this week. That's what Dale Bechtel has been up to.
Have you got some? Have you got some money for me? I want to go on the ship.
Why do you want to go to America?
I get rich. Gold. Work. Yeah, they've got lots of work over there.
I couldn't really help this beggar get the cash together he needed for the one-way passage to America, but then again, he didn't really want my money. The young actor was playing his role, convincingly I might add, to take me back to the second half of the 19th century, to show me that Switzerland was not always the wealthy country it is today. That was a time of mass migrations from Europe to America, and the Swiss were just as eager to seek their fortune in the New World as Italians, Germans or Poles. Industrialization is the buzzword of the day, according to this actress's script, but no one has any work. The play is Burn America One Way, and it's a production of the English department of Bern University, staged to help the institution celebrate its 175th anniversary. It's a roadshow that has as its audience mostly upper and lower secondary school students of Canton Bern. Beat Herzog heads the project.
I think the most surprising part then was to see that it's not too long ago, for example, in the 19th century, lots of Bernese left the country, and that was surprising. And to see those numbers, for example, to see that 4,000 Bernese left the canton in the year 1881, for example.
We are one people. But a people welded from many nations and races.
Multimedia stations introduce visitors to the melting pot that is America, before they're led to a series of man-sized, upright boxes. Inside are props used by the student performers to tell a different aspect of the immigration story. It was obviously not very pleasant to start bleeding from the gums and lose your teeth because you're suffering from scurvy, as this actress makes very clear to a rapt audience of teenagers. Tanya Villy and Chloe Kwando say one aim of the production is to show young people that poor immigrants coming to Switzerland today have a lot in common with Swiss people of yesteryear.
We want people to know that it was not always people coming to our country, it was also us leaving. And for the young students, this is quite important because you can see in their faces that they have no idea about that. So it's quite interesting to see the reactions.
There was a lot of poverty, a lot of hunger, which we forget. You know, all the farmers who didn't have money. They had a lot of children and not enough food to feed them. And that's very surprising, and we tend to forget that.
But what would a show about America be without heroes, especially if they have Swiss origins, such as Peter Rindisbacher?
I think he's my favorite because he's a commoner, and he just went there as a farmer, actually, farming family, and he started painting the Native Americans, the Indians, and he was quite successful. And in Canada, they still show his pictures and his paintings because they think it's quite important to see that not all the Europeans paint the Indians as, you know, the wild. I think he's very interesting.
And who knows what will become of this man if he succeeds in securing passage to America.
My brother went there last year. He got rich. At least that's what he's writing to me. He got rich.
A report by Dale Bechtel. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Read more about these stories and other Swiss news and views at swissinfo.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens. To play us out, an excerpt from the famous fourth movement of Schubert's Trout Quintet. This recording, which can be heard at swissmusic.swissinfo.ch, is by the Carmina Quartet, an award-winning ensemble founded in Switzerland in 1984. The guest performer is Japanese pianist Kayoko Tabe.